one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, to some, these words of the Lord might seem to elevate what we might call the life of passive contemplation and meditation above the life of activity and deed. And yet we know from the heavenly doctrine that the life of religion, that is the life of charity, is a life of use and activity. And also that the one thing that is most needful for salvation is to actively resist and shun evils and sins against God. And so we need to understand how these two aspects are related, to understand what is meant here by the good part, what is meant here by Martha. And in that context, it's important also to realize that the Lord did not reject or condemn Martha. He rather rebuked her very gently, and not so much, we may say, for what she did as for what she said. And to understand this, to understand what the Lord really wants us to learn here, we need to look past the external appearances of time and space and person to the eternal or internal message that deals with the mental and spiritual life of man. We must view this from correspondences and representatives, where all the external facts are important, but not to be taken at face value. We need to know what is meant by Martha, by Mary, and by the Lord's feet, to see these things as states and affections and attitude. First of all, about Martha, nothing much is really said about her, but we may gather something of a meaning from the meaning of the name Martha, which means mistress. Not mistress as in a love relationship, but mistress as the one who is in charge of the household. In other words, both the name and also the deeds of Martha shows that Martha is the one who runs the household. And that is also why she is mentioned in the spiritual diary in connection with domestic cares, where it is said, "And I saw a small habitation, considerably low down under the left foot, a little in front, in which was a large chamber furnished with utensils, which, however, I did not see. The chamber led along to a long hall according to a common construction, and through the hall there went a woman of small stature and deformed person. Upon my inquiring the meaning of these things, it was replied that such as were excessively devoted to domestic cares in the life of the body occupied this kind of habitation, and that they still remained engrossed by their wanted cares. It was also said that they are for the most part from the inferior classes of the people, consisting often of old women who, although these cares do not pertain to them, yet still assume them, neglecting, like Martha, the better things such as pertain to faith." And so Martha represents those affections that are concerned with the external needs of our life in this world. And we may say, not just domestic things, just as homemaking, but indeed all the uses and occupations, activities and cares that look to our external or temporal welfare. And it is essential not to misunderstand what is taught in this passage from the Spiritual Diary, because it does not say that being engaged in domestic cares cripples or deforms the mind. It is only, we may say, when such things are allowed to unnecessarily impede or interfere with or obstruct the spiritual pursuits, when these things are chosen for their own sake and set above spiritual things, then it is that that happens. The fact is, of course, that these uses, these external uses, are very much part of love to the Lord and the life of religion. They are the most ultimate plane upon which everything else rests, as we also taught in the Arcana Celestia, where it says that true worship consists in the performance of uses, thus in the exercises of charity. He who believes that serving the Lord consists solely in frequenting a place of worship, in hearing preaching there, and in praying, and that this is sufficient, is much mistaken. The very worship of the Lord consists in performing uses, and during man's life in the world, uses consist in everyone's discharging a righteous duty in his station, thus from the heart being of service to his country, to societies, and to the neighbor, in dealing sincerely with his fellow, and in performing kind offices with prudence in accordance with each person's character. These uses are chiefly the works of charity, and are those whereby the Lord is chiefly worshipped. Frequenting a place of worship, hearing sermons and saying prayers are also necessary, but without the above uses they avail nothing, because they are not of the life. So these external uses must be there, perhaps especially the domestic uses, the joint care of the home and the family. But they must never gain ascendancy, except in a very temporary way, as we also taught in the work on the doctrine of faith, where it says that there are many who possess no internal acknowledgement of truth, and yet have the faith of charity. These are they who have had regard to the Lord in their life, and from religion have avoided evils, but have been prevented from thinking about truths by worldly cares and by the businesses, as well as by a lack of truth on the part of their teachers. But inwardly, that is, in the spirit, they still are in the acknowledgement of truth, because they are in the affection of it, and therefore after death, when they become spirits and are instructed by angels, they acknowledge truths and receive them with joy. So these external uses are very important, but they must never seriously challenge the spiritual priorities represented by Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. And what is meant by that? Well, we heard in our lesson today from the Apocalypse explained that the Lord's feet or footstool means the church on earth. And also, we may say in a more extended sense, the divine truth in ultimates in the word, and also the divine natural, that is the Lord's presence and activity in the natural realm. And so we may say in general that Mary represents the longing and striving to see and be conjoined with the Lord, to sit at his feet, to behold the presence of the divine in the world, that is the church, to look to its goods and uses above all else, also to study the word, and also we may say to see the divine footprints in our lives, to see the workings of divine providence in all the things that befall us, to see the mercy and wisdom of divine permission, and to see the coherence and meaning of seeming coincidences and chance happenings. And thus we may say to sense with both our feelings and our understanding the close and immediate presence of the Lord. And this is indeed the good or better part. Because without this, the Martha part has no real meaning. Charity and use is not just to perform our offices, our occupations in a kind and civil way, but to do it with a sincerity, a devotion and faith that causes these external uses to be spiritual at the same time. The external obedience of Martha must be permeated and transformed by the spiritual awareness of Mary, being viewed then in the perspective of what is eternal and divine. It is when Martha is in the kitchen of worldly affairs, separated from the Lord and Mary, that this state of discontent and complaint arises. In other words, when we immerse ourselves in all the concerns and demands and activities of external and apparent reality, when we enter into a state where we think that all really depends on us, then it is that discontent and complaining, self-pity and bitterness arises, and self-righteousness and condemnation. Just as this also was evident in the way Martha behaved. On the other hand, at the Lord's feet, there is a state of freedom and tranquility. It is as we also taught in the work on divine providence, where it says that about heavenly freedom, that everyone may come into this freedom provided he is willing to think that there is an eternal life and that the temporary delight and bliss of a life in time are but a fleeting shadow compared to the never-ending delight and bliss of a life in eternity. This a man can think if he wishes, because he has rationality and liberty, and because the Lord, from whom these two faculties are derived, continually gives him the ability to do so. So it is, as we strive to behold the presence and operation of the Lord in all things, as we quietly wait and humbly wait upon the Lord, then it is that we can begin to see the mercy and meaning where before that there was just a random confusion and rank injustice. Then it is we can gain the security and the confidence and peace that depends not upon our own efforts, ordering our lives and charting our course through life, because these things will fade and fail, but resting upon the sure knowledge of the presence of the Lord, at whose feet we may recline to hear his loving voice explain and unravel all the riddles and enigmas of our lives. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.